Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. This is the second in a series of three readings on responding. Last month the topic was our response to God, and that's available on our archive page right now. The topic of today's healing message is our response to each other. Next month will be the third and final reading in this series on the topic God's response to us. I'll be reading from the Authorized, that's the King James Version of the Holy Bible, and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Keys to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Holy Bible, beginning with Colossians. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now from Exodus and 1 Kings. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of our fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am of slow of speech, and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. She said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. and behold, it was turned again into this other flesh. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Now from Isaiah, along with the Gospels of Saints Luke, Matthew, and John, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said unto him, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And the women also came into the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And finally again from Colossians, Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, correlative passages from Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. The question, what is truth, convulses the world. Many are ready to meet this inquiry with the assurance which comes from Oscar's understanding, but more are blinded by their old illusions and try to give it pause. The efforts of error to answer this question by somology are vain. Eloquence re-echoes the strains of truth and love. It is due to inspiration rather than to erudition. It shows the possibilities derived from divine mind. The Hebrew lawgiver, slow of speech, despaired of making the people understand what should be revealed to him. When led by wisdom to cast down his rod, he saw it become a serpent. Moses fled before it. But wisdom bade him come back and handle the serpent. And then Moses' fear departed. God lessened Moses' fear by this proof in divine science. And the inward voice became to him the voice of God, which said, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And so it was in the coming centuries, when the science of being was demonstrated by Jesus, who showed his students the power of mind by changing water into wine, and taught them how to handle serpents unharmed, to heal the sick and cast out evils in proof of the supremacy of mind. Did the doctrines of John the Baptist confer healing power upon him or endow him with the truest conception of the Christ? This righteous preacher once pointed his disciples to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Yet afterwards he seriously questioned the signs of the messianic appearing and sent the inquiry to Jesus, art thou he that should come? In reply to John's inquiry, art thou he that should come, Jesus returned an affirmative reply, recounting his works instead of referring to his doctrine. Confident that this exhibition of the divine power to heal would fully answer the question. Jesus sent a message to John the Baptist, which was intended to prove beyond a question that the Christ had come. Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. In other words, tell John what the demonstration of divine power is, and he will at once perceive that God is the power in the messianic work. Our Master taught no mere theory, doctrine, or belief. It was the divine principle of all real being which he taught and practiced. His proof of Christianity was no former system of religion and worship, but Christian science, working out the harmony of life and love. Mortal existence is an enigma. Every day is a mystery. The testimony of the corporeal senses cannot inform us what is real and what is delusive. But the revelations of Christian science unlock the treasures of truth. Must Christian science come through the Christian churches, as some persons insist? This science has come already, after the manner of God's appointing. But the churches seem not ready to receive it, according to the scriptural saying, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus once said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. A little girl, who had occasionally listened to my explanations, badly wounded her finger. She seemed not to notice it. And be questioned about it, she answered ingenuously. There is no sensation in matter. Bounding off with laughing eyes, she presently added, Mama, my finger's not a bit sore. Christ, as the spiritual or true idea of God, comes now, as of old, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the sick, casting out evils. Is it error which is restoring an essential element of Christianity, namely apostolic divine healing? No. It is the science of Christianity which is restoring it, and is the light shining in darkness, which the darkness comprehends not. Critics should consider that the so-called mortal man is not the reality of man. Then they would behold the signs of Christ's coming. It is said by one critic that to verify this wonderful philosophy, Christian Science declares that whatever is mortal or discordant has no origin, existence, nor realness. Nothing really has life but God, who is infinite life. Hence all is life, and death has no dominion. This writer infers that if anything needs to be doctored, it must be the one God or mind. Had he stated his syllogism correctly, the conclusion would be that there's nothing left to be doctored. Because mortal mind seems to be conscious, the sick say, how can my mind cause a disease I never thought of and knew nothing about until it appeared on my body? The author has answered this question in her explanation of disease as originating in human belief before it is consciously apparent on the body, which is in fact the objective state of mortal mind, though it is called matter. This mortal blindness and its sharp consequences show our need of divine metaphysics. Through immortal mind, or truth, we can destroy all ills which proceed from mortal mind. The ancient and hypothetical question, which is first, the egg or the bird, is answered if the egg produces the parent. But we cannot stop here. Another question follows, who or what produces the parent of the egg? Naturalists ask, what can there be of a material nature transmitted through these bodies called eggs, themselves composed of the simplest material elements, by which all peculiarities of ancestry belonging to either sex are brought down from generation to generation? The question of the naturalist amounts to this. How can matter originate or transmit mind? We answer that it cannot. The question, what is truth, is answered by demonstration, by healing both disease and sin. And this demonstration shows that Christian healing confers the most health and makes the best men. The women at the cross could have answered Pilate's question. They knew what had inspired their devotion, winged their faith, opened the eyes of their understanding, healed the sick, cast out evil, and caused the disciples to say to their master, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Christian Science awakens the sinner, reclaims the infidel, and raises from the couch of pain the helpless invalid. It speaks to the dumb the words of truth, and they answer with rejoicing.
hide in a cloud, all of us, and in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all of us, and there's quite enough hope, and quite enough
Well, let's now all pray together in silence, just for a few moments, and then join together in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. Now, it may be helpful to remember that Mary Baker Eddy asked that our prayers be for the congregations, exclusively and collectively. First of all, silent prayer. And now together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
For the kingdom.